And previously, we thought it was the male bee which was the worker bee. The Quran says in Surah Nahl, chapter number 16, verse 60 and 69, it's a female bee which is the worker bee. And the female gender is used, fasluki akhuli. Previously we thought it was the male bee which was the worker bee. No wonder Shakespeare, in his play, Henry IV, he writes, it's the soldiers who go out and they report to the king. Today we have come to know, it is not the male bees which are the worker bee, it's the female bee. And they don't report to the king, but they report to the queen. Imagine, the Quran even mentions the gender of the worker bee as being feminine. The Quran says in Surah Naml, chapter number 27, verse number 17 and 18, that when Solomon and his army marched, and when they came to a lowly valley of ants, one of the ants said, O ye ants, get into the habitations, lest Solomon and his army will trample you beneath your feet, unknowingly. People may think, what kind of a fairy tale book is the glorious Quran? The ants talking among themselves? It sounds like a fairy tale book. Today we have come to know the animal or insect which has the closest resemblance to the lifestyle of the human being, it is the ant. The ant, they bury the dead in a similar fashion as how the human beings do. They have a sophisticated method of labor in which they have workers, supervisors, managers, foremen, etc. They have a sophisticated method of communication. They regularly meet to chat. They even have marketplaces where they exchange goods, like how we have, you know, sukh, the marketplaces where we exchange goods. And if the ant, when they store the grain, and if the grain begins to bud, the ant, they chop off the bud as though they knew that rot, that budding will cause the rotting of the grain. And if in monsoon, during rainy season, if the grain gets wet, they get it in the sunlight to dry, as though they knew that humidity will cause the rotting of the grain. In the field of medicine, the glorious Quran says, in Surah Nahl, chapter number 16, verse number 69, that from the belly of the bee, we give you a drink of varying colors, in which there is healing for humankind. Today we have come to know that the honey has high nutritious value, it's rich in vitamin K and fructose, and it even has mild antiseptic properties. No wonder the Russian soldiers in World War II, they used honey to cover up their wound, which caused the healing of the wound very fast, because it prevented the evaporation of moisture. And the healing was done with leaving of very little scar tissue. And due to the density of honey, fungus and bacteria was prevented to grow in the wound. And if a person is suffering from allergy of a particular plant, if honey produced from that plant is given to him, that person starts developing resistance to that allergy. In the field of embryology, there were a group of Arabs about 20 years ago. They collected material from the Quran and the Hadith dealing with embryology, and they presented it to Professor Keith Moore, who happens to be one of the highest authorities in the field of embryology, who was previously the head of the department and chairman of anatomy in the University of Toronto in Canada. And at present, he's one of the highest authority in the field of embryology. And when he was given the various translations of the Quranic verses and Sahih Hadith dealing with embryology, and asked his comments, he said that most of the verses which the Quran speaks about embryology is in 100% conformity with what modern embryology has come to know recently. But there are a few verses which I cannot say that they are right. Neither can I say that they are wrong, because I myself do not know it. And two such verses were the first two verses to be revealed from Surah Iqra or Surah Alaq, chapter 96, verse number 1 and 2, which says, Iqra bismi rabbikal ladhi khalaq. Khalaqal insana min alaq. Read, recite, or proclaim in the name of the Lord who created, who created the human beings from something which clings, a leech-like substance. So Prophet Keith Moore said, I did not know whether the embryo looks like a leech or not. So he went into the laboratory and under a very powerful microscope examined the early stage of an embryo and compared it with the photograph of a leech, and he was astonished at the striking resemblance. And after a variety of questions were asked to him on Quran and Hadith dealing with embryology, he said, if you would have asked these questions 30 years ago, I would not be able to answer more than 50%, because embryology is a branch of medicine which has developed recently. And he said, he has no objection in agreeing that the glorious Quran is the word of Almighty God and the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, is the messenger of this God. The Quran says in Surah Mu'minun, chapter number 23, verse number 13, and Surah Hajj, chapter number 22, verse number 5, that they have created the human beings from a nutfa. A nutfa means a minute quantity of liquid. Like when you empty a cup, the trickle that's remaining, a minute quantity. And today we have come to know that in a seminal emission, there are about 300 million sperm. And only one sperm is sufficient to fertilize the ovum. This one out of 300 million sperm, the Quran refers to as nutfa, a minute quantity of liquid. The Quran says in Surah Sajda, chapter 32, verse number 8, that we have created the human being from sulala. Sulala means the best part of the whole, indicating that the one sperm out of the 300 million sperm which fertilizes the ovum is the best part of the whole. The Quran says in Surah Az-Zumar, chapter 39, verse number 6, we have created the human beings in the womb of the mother in stages, one after the other, in three waves of darkness. Prophet Keith Moore said, these three waves of darkness refers to the anterior abdominal wall, the uterine wall, and the amniocorionic membrane. In the field of genetics, the Quran says in Surah An-Najm, chapter number 53, verse 45 and 46, that we have created the human beings in pairs, male and female, from a minute quantity of liquid gushing forth from a male. The Arabic word tumna means gushing forth from a male, indicating it is the male fluid which is responsible for deciphering the sex of the child. The Quran repeats the message in Surah Qiyamah, chapter number 75, verse number 37 to 39, that we have made the human beings from a minute quantity of sperm. Then mirindu and alaqa, then gave it due proportion, give it sexes, male and female. The Quran says, it is the male fluid, the sperm, which is responsible for determining the sex of the child. And today, after science has advanced, we have come to know that there are 23 pairs of chromosomes, and the last pair of chromosome is responsible for deciphering the sex of the child. If it's XX, it's a female. If it's an XY, it's a male. And it is the sperm which deciphers or determines the sex of the child. In the country where I come from, India, and the neighboring country, Pakistan, etc., there, the people, they prefer having male children for reasons known to them best. And if suppose a lady gives birth to a daughter, very often the mother-in-law will say, why did you give birth to a daughter? You should have given birth to a son. If the mother-in-law wants to blame anyone, it's in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whether it's a male or a female. But if the mother-in-law wants to blame anyone, she should blame the son and not the daughter-in-law, because the Quran and science tells us today, it is the male which deciphers the sex of the child and not the female. The Quran describes the various embryological stages in great detail. In Surah Mu'minun, chapter number 23, verse number 12 to 14, it says, we have created the human beings from a minute quantity of liquid and nutfa. Then placed it in a place of security, Qararim Makin. Then made it into an alaqa, a leech-like substance. Then made that alaqa into a mudga, a chewed-like lump. Then made the mudga into izama, bones. Then clothed the bones with laham, that is flesh. Glory be to Allah, who is the best to create. These three verses of the Quran describes the various embryological stages in great detail. Time doesn't permit me to go into more details about embryology and the other aspects. The Quran also says in Surah Sajda, chapter number 32, verse number 9, we have given the human being the faculty of hearing and sight. The Quran says, first comes hearing, then comes sight. And today, modern science has established that the first sense to develop in a human being is the sense of hearing, then sight. By the 24th week of pregnancy, the ear is complete and the person can hear. And by 28th week, the first light ray can be recognized. First comes hearing, then comes sight. There are hadiths which say that when a woman is pregnant, she should hear good things, etc. She should recite the Quran. And people wonder, what has the recitation of the Quran of the pregnant lady has got to do with the child in the womb? And today science tells us that there was a research done that a lady was pregnant, she was a typist. The child, after it was born, the infant, which was born to the typist, was taken, and other infants were taken, and all were placed together, and the typewriter was sounded after they were born. All the infants, they were afraid, except the child of the typist, because he was used to hearing the sound of the typewriter in the mother's womb. And today science tells us that you should be careful what you watch. The movies you watch have an effect on a child. So the Quran is right, and the hadith is right when it says that you should do good things when the lady is pregnant, she should recite the Quran, etc.